318 times the return of Christ is mentioned in 260 New Testament chapters. Consider that every beatitude that we will go through, every beatitude points to the perfect happiness that's to come in the return of Christ or in the world to come. Okay? This is such an important point too, right? I say this a lot. As citizens of heaven, which if we're alive in Christ, we are, as citizens in heaven, this world is not all there is.
Listeners, Shannon here. I am your host of Live in the Light, and I'm here in the studio to get us diving back into Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. In the last message, we learned that mourning can lead to joy. And the more we truly see our sin, the more we can see the grace and the love of Jesus. And what brings more joy than that? Today, we're in verse 4 with the promise of comfort. Comfort now and comfort to come. How have you experienced the comfort of the Lord? I've had Him comfort me in hard times through things like worship music or a call and a prayer from a loved one, maybe reading through scripture. These forms of comfort are a drop in the bucket compared to what's to come in eternity. Amen? Open your Bible back to Matthew 5 and get into it with me. Here's Pastor Robbie.
The more we mourn over our sin, the more we are aware of the reality of the comfort of God upon our lives. So what's very clear too from verse 4 is just that. The more we truly see our sin, then the more we are amazed at His grace and joy. Let's just, for example, another way to look at it. The most famous hymn ever written is Amazing Grace, written by John Newton, slave trader, had a massive conversion to Jesus Christ. So the most famous hymn, again, begins with Amazing Grace. Why is it so amazing? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a, you guys all know it, a wretch. He's mourning over his sin. He understands he was a wretch. Previous, again, before he was saved, all his sin, all his ghastly deeds that he did, and the moment he sees he's a wretch and he sees the grace and love and forgiveness of Christ, then he stands up and writes that hymn that the whole world has now sung over and over again, Amazing Grace, incredible grace, amazing comfort of God. How incredibly sweet the sound that saved. He's blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Absolutely every time. Another way to say this too, and this is, I mean, look at our lives. Think about this church, brothers and sisters, those who I love so much. Think about this. The reason joy might often elude us is because our sin often does not grieve us. Think about the connection there. The reason joy often eludes us is because our sin often does not grieve us. Again, Lloyd-Jones, he says it so well here. He says this is a blessing to me, man. The way he kind of articulated this is the astounding thing about the Christian life. And it is. You won't find this in any other religion, anywhere close. Your great sorrow leads to joy. And without the sorrow, there is no joy. I love when he says this. This is such good theology about theology. A deep or high doctrine of sin leads to a deep or high doctrine of joy. That's what Jesus is saying. The more we're aware of the reality of sin within, the more we find the joy of God within our lives as well. See, now this explains also why there's so much apathy in the Big C church in our day, in this nation and this continent. There's so much apathy in the church because the doctrine of sin is barely even taught. When we spend so much time trying to make people feel better about themselves and we never actually deal with the greatest disease we all have within us, which is the disease of self and our obsession with sin. So much of the church are making people feel good about themselves when they're like on their deathbed and need of an accurate description of what's happening. They're handing them vitamins when they need heart surgery. That's a massive problem. We're trying to make them feel good. Have a couple of vitamins. They're literally dying. They need a heart transplant or heart surgery in the awareness of their sin in order to get their lives renewed and restored back to where God would have them be. That's why it's massive today, man. It's like, it's not easy, but it's so important. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn over sin, for they shall be comforted. It's interesting, too. Like, I mean, all throughout scripture, Isaiah, he gets a glimpse of the holiness of God. His first reaction, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's devastated in his sin in light of the holiness of God. Peter in the boat with Jesus in Luke 5, there's this catch of fish. Whatever happens, the catch of fish, and Jesus looks at the fish, understands the miracle, looks at Christ. Christ, in this is God. He falls on his face and says, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's the only thing he knew to do. Unbelievable. Mourning in the reality of God's holiness. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he's going through in chapter 7 about his sinful nature and like the sin that I don't want to do, I do, and the good things I do when I do, I don't do. And he's like, oh, at the end, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. I'm so comforted that Paul said that because I feel that way too. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. That's a Christian moving towards Christ. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Think of it this way too, a lack of spiritual mourning in our lives or our leadership or our churches or our families, a lack of spiritual mourning will be a lack of reverence for God, will be a lack of fear of God, will be a lack of gratitude in our lives, will be a lack of joy, will be a lack of peace, will be a lack of true worship, a lack of true singing, there'll be a lack of the awareness of the presence of God. A lack of spiritual mourning will lead to a lack of a lot of other things that maybe we really want. Because Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a mourning of personal sin. And there's also this in scripture. I think what Jesus also means here is there's a mourning of public sin as well. I want you to think of all the instances in scripture where the theology of mourning, we may not identify it this way, but I think it's very, very powerful. Think of Moses smashing the Ten Commandments at the sight of the golden calf. It's a mourning over public sin. Joshua tearing his clothes, falling on his face at the results of sin, of the sin of Achan. Eli falling over backwards and dying after hearing about the ark of God being captured. Samuel crying to the Lord all night over the sin of Saul. David lying on the ground all night over the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba and the impact again upon God's people. The psalmist who says, my eyes shed streams of tears. Why? Because the people do not keep your law. Jeremiah weeping and weeping and weeping over the sin of God's people. Daniel absolutely heartbroken with weeping and fasting and sackcloth and ashes on behalf of the people and their sin. Then there's Jesus weeping over Jerusalem and the hardheartedness again of the people. Jesus himself was described in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Paul in Romans 9, he says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Wow, what language. Why? He wishes that he could be accursed as opposed to his Jewish brethren, because they are not receiving the gospel and they do not have eternal life with Jesus Christ. Unceasing sorrow and anguish in his heart. Mourning is right and proper as a part of the Christian life. I'm all for smiles. I love Christian brothers and sisters who smile. Like, it's very encouraging, but life is not all about smiles. Life and living in Christ, the people walk around and be like, hey, what's up? And they do that. And it's kind of like a plastic and everything's fine. No, it's not. Everything's not fine all the time. And there's never any problems. No, that's not true. There's always problems. I mean, what Robbie Simons knows, man, like, I want to smile, but there's a large portion of my life that I may have joy, but on the outside, there's a mourning to the reality of the sin that I feel that's around me and the sensitivity to the darkness and the evil that I encounter and you encounter every single day. In fact, the more I grow in Christ and the closer I get to Jesus Christ, the more sensitive I feel I'm becoming. And again, not always a smile on my face. I pray there's a joy in my heart, but there's a mourning that goes on as well as my spirit. spirit is grieved by the reality of the things that are around me. I watch TV, I see the messages, I see what the world is doing, I'm watching the politics, I see the news, so much of it breaks my heart. I see the stats of the young people, I see what's going on, I see the lies, I can cut through all the deception of Satan himself, and I know where it's headed. It's headed to death and judgment and total destruction of people. That doesn't put a smile on my face, and it shouldn't put one on yours either. There's a proper place to mourn as we mourn and long for God to do what only he can do, but we weep tears again of brokenness over the reality of what is happening and trusting that the comfort of God will come when we need it the most. One of the highlights of my time away this past summer, my wife Jill and I, we got away, just the two of us. What a concept, man. That was so good. And no offense, kids, but we're gonna do it again. We went out east for a couple of days, the Maritimes, and spent a couple of days in Halifax, Moncton, and then ended up in Charlottetown. It was really, really great, just like 5 days, but it was so good. And but one of the things that when I was there, I was just so filled with gratitude to be with Jill and just so good for our marriage and everything else. But I was caught off guard by a couple of things that happened to me while I was there. I get up early and I was walking the streets, particularly Halifax and Moncton, and a couple of things I wasn't ready for, just because you're just having a break and stuff and you're enjoying that. But my spirit was really, really impacted as walking downtown Halifax and Moncton. The ubiquitous nature of the sexual revolution messages were there. I mean, it just seemed to be in every situation, every faith. And it just really impacted me in the sense of the messaging and what will not fulfill and will lead people down a path away from Christ. At the same time, like right beside all of this, there were these massive, beautiful church buildings in the center of each city that what I think about this a lot, that at one point, I mean, the reason they're in the center of the city because it was the center of the city. And at one point not too long ago, this was what the people valued, this is what the people believed, this is how the city was led and run. And for the most part now, these churches, I was overcome in Moncton, because I'd never been there before, small city, you know, a lot of it looks pretty nice, but in the kitty corner, a couple hundred meters, right close to where our hotel was, and I walked down and these beautiful, large church buildings, like 4 or 5 of them, all packed into like one block. Many of them apostate now, it was very evident. And others were probably barely effective, if at all. For me, it's what once was and now what is. I was grieved. My heart, tears. And I became discouraged. Like, Lord, what's happening to this nation? Like, for me, it's a picture. Like, I'm big on this kind of stuff, man. It's a picture of like, you know, we build the things into what we believe in and the lostness and the darkness. And I was getting discouraged. I'm like, how do we stop this tidal wave of what's going on? And places I wasn't expecting to see out east, I thought might be a little different. But in that moment, in my discouragement, I think the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but just in my spirit and heart, as I was praying to him, and the encouragement and the comfort came to say, Robbie, you can't control all this stuff that's happening here, but you can be faithful to what I've called you and the church that you belong to do. Where you are, you can shine the light of Jesus Christ and you can exalt Jesus Christ as high as possible. And you within your brothers and sisters at Hope Oakville, you guys can proclaim Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel as faithful as I empower you to do. You do that, you let me take care of the rest. And I was like, you know, in our day, like every church, I'm just like loved ones, like every church that shines the light of Jesus Christ, there's so much purpose in that. Yes, the darkness seems to be increasing. All things are happening, but we can be faithful where we are. We, you and me together, we can hold up Jesus Christ. The world can do what it's gonna do and God is sovereign over that. He say, I'm sovereign of that, but you be faithful to what you've been called to do. You proclaim Christ, you preach the word, you pray, you love the lost, you minister to those that are around you. You do that as best as you can by my grace, by the power of my Holy Spirit, and you leave the rest to me. Yeah, raise up leaders and send out missionaries. You do what you can do. But Robbie, trust me, man, I got all this. But I need faithful men and women to stand up where they are and to continue to proclaim the light and the love of Jesus Christ as long as they have breath. And I tell you, that was the highlight of my summer. That moment right there. I mean, for reasons I can't get into right now, and there's not time for it. That for me was what I needed to hear from the Lord. I needed that to say, keep going, son. Keep going. With the brothers and sisters that you're with and the opportunity that you've been entrusted with, you exalt Jesus Christ. You lift high the name of Jesus. You preach the word, you pray, you share the good news. And I just walked away from that man with now good tears in my eyes and the comfort of the Lord upon my heart and with a resolve to keep going and not give up. Let's do it together. Amen, church. Let's do it together. I mean, how awesome that is. Amen. Amen. And the Lord says, he's like, amen. Am I sovereign or not? You are sovereign, God. So he's like, I'm not stressed. Where are you? Okay, that's good. But all the darkness, he's like, I got it. All the evil, he's like, maybe I ordained it. Read my word. What does it say? The way I read it, it's going to get pretty bad. He's like, am I in charge? Yes. Am I the king? Yes. Am I the ruler? Yes. Am I good? Yes. Do I got you? Yes. Am I faithful? 100%, Lord. Let's go then. Let's go then. Good point, Lord. That's a good point. In this sense, head down. Low, prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Mourn. Mourn over the sin. Very right, very good. But then expect the comfort. Expect the comfort. The power of mourning and now the promise of comfort. The promise of comfort. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. I want you to notice in every beatitude we go through, there's this massive incentive at the end. This massive reward, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty good reward, don't you think? That's a pretty good reward. Blessed are those who mourn now, for they shall be comforted. That's a great reward. Comforted by God himself. The word comfort, come alongside, parakleo, the noun of the word comforter in John's gospel for the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps and teaches and fills and comforts us. Awesome. So the promise of God himself bringing comfort to those who mourn. That's a pretty good promise. So here's the question though. When does the comfort come? Like, is that now? Is that later on? It's actually both. One of the important theologies within the Sermon on the Mount, and you should know this, maybe some of you have not been taught this, is the theology in the New Testament of the already and the not yet. Meaning, the kingdom of heaven is already. The kingdom of heaven, if you're alive in Jesus Christ right now, you have been given access into the kingdom of heaven. You are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. The kingdom of heaven arrived with Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven lives within those who belong to him. In that sense, the kingdom of heaven is already. It is here right now. This is a representation of the kingdom of heaven. However, the kingdom of heaven is also not yet. There's a future fulfillment. Perfection is not here yet. Perfection is coming. The return of Christ will bring the not yet to its completion, and the entirety of all the promises we've ever longed for, hope, and victory will be found in that moment, at that time, on that day. Very, very important. There's an already to God's kingdom. There's a not yet to God's kingdom. The same with comfort then, the comfort brought in God's kingdom. There's an already, the comfort of God comforting us in our mourning. And there's a longing for the not yet, where the fulfillment completion of that comfort that is yet to come, right? Like some examples would be how many of us have found ourselves in grief, in death, like real death in this life over loved ones. The mourning over the sin that causes death is real, but the comfort of God comes. I personally lived this out in the past year, the passing of my dad. I was overwhelmed with mourning and comfort of God in death. Unbelievably powerful. And so many of you know exactly what I'm saying. That's the here and now of God's comfort. How many of us in our pain and sorrow and mourning over different circumstances of hardship and suffering and grief, whatever it might be, and loss and difficulty and health and relate, whatever it might be, and yet the Lord draws near in our brokenness and saves the crushed in spirit. That's what he does. How many of us have been ruined in our personal sin? God has brought us and broken us, devastated us with an awareness of our sin. But we lay, you know, flat out before the Lord, and we go before him, and then we receive his forgiveness and healing and comfort. And so in that one moment of mourning over sin, and then the supernatural comfort of God comes upon us in forgiveness and grace and healing. There's just nothing like it. Why is there so much weeping in salvation? Not always, but often. When someone truly comes to Christ, often, I've seen this hundreds and hundreds of times in this room, in this church, over the years. Hundreds and hundreds of examples of people weeping, uncontrollable weeping over the reality of their sin, mourning at the same time they've never been more aware of the joy, comfort, grace, and peace of God that is flooding their lives at the exact moment they are pouring out their soul before God. That's, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's here and now. God's doing that all the time, and that is an awesome sight to behold. You see, because there's a brokenness that is met with a healing, and it's all simultaneous. It's just awesome. Only God can do that. The broken receive the comfort of the Lord. He is near to the brokenhearted. He gives grace to the humble. You know what's so encouraging for me? Like even this morning, I, in my Bible readings and going through multiple chapters, and then I thought I was near the end of what I was supposed to read, and I just said, Lord, you speak to me. Would you speak to me? Father, speak to me. I love just saying that prayer. I just need to hear his voice so much. I just need so much wisdom from him every day. And I just, in my mind, it was 2 Corinthians 6. It was like I was supposed to be there, but I got stopped in 2 Corinthians 5 and that. I was just loving what's in there. And then 2 Corinthians 6, and I went there, and I had a sense, and I opened the chapter and looked at it in detail. And then in that section, there was one I highlighted in red, in particular asterisk right there with the exclamation mark beside it. It was that phrase that Paul says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And I'm like, that's it. Like, I think that was just the Lord encouraging me for, we're going in the right direction today. And just, this is exactly, obviously it lines up with his word. But isn't that so much of our lives? Genuinely living for Christ, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Because it's the blessing that can't be removed from you no matter the circumstance. Paul and all his suffering and all his beatings and imprisonments and sleepless nights and persecutions and starvation, whatever it was, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. The comfort of God here and now for those who mourn. And then this, and this is our last thing we kind of unpack, it's the comfort that's yet to come though. We also long for the comfort that will be. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is where we're so encouraged by eschatology. If you're new here, eschatology is a theological word that describes the last times. Eska in the Greek means last, the study of end times, the study of last things. Man, the Bible is fired up about eschatology. Like the return of Christ and the hope we have in him. It is 318 times the return of Christ is mentioned in 260 New Testament chapters. 318 times mentions the return of Christ. Consider that every beatitude that we will go through, every beatitude points to the perfect happiness that's to come in the return of Christ or in the world to come, okay? This is such an important point too, right? I say this a lot. As citizens of heaven, which if we're alive in Christ, we are, as citizens in heaven, this world is not all there is. It's very, you and I are tempted every day to live as though this world is all there is. You and I are tempted every day to get so overcome with sadness or so overcome with disappointment when things don't work out in this life. This is hard, but this is so important. The Bible keeps telling us it's not about this life. It's not about being healthy all the way until you die. It's not about all your finances working out as you desire. It's not about the perfect job. It's not about having perfect relational harmony every moment of every day. It's not about never being confronted with disaster or difficulty or pain or struggle or grief or disobedience. It's not about that. That's coming. That heaven is not now, praise God. If this was heaven, I quit, okay? Heaven is not now, okay? I look around this world, it stinks. It's tough. If this is all there is, man, wow, we're getting gypped. Okay? It's to come in Jesus Christ. What we know is within us. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again, don't live for now. Don't live for now. Don't live for now. Live for what will be to make you more effective now in fruitfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I are tempted every day. We live as though if things don't work out today, then there's no point. The Bible says the opposite. You have every point in the world to live for what will be tomorrow in the time to come. The comfort that is coming. That's why some of my favorite verses in scripture, Romans chapter 8, I consider the sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. 2 Corinthians 4, for these light momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that will be revealed. Philippians chapter 3, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior who will return and transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that he holds again within himself. Glory, 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 the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. For when Christ appears, Colossians 3, you will appear with him also in glory. It's not about this world, man. It's about what's to be. And of course, Revelation 21, we'll end with this. Here's the promise. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away. Jesus Christ is going to return soon. Child, hang on. Comfort is coming. You say, I grieve. Me too. Hang on. Comfort is coming. You say, I have many tears. You're not alone. Comfort is coming. You say, life is so hard. Yeah, it can be, can it? Hang on. Comfort is coming. It's going to be worth it. You're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's been really, really, really tough. The Lord knows. Hang on. Comfort is coming and it's going to be worth it. And the time will come soon when the Lord Jesus Christ himself in some form, in some way, he will bend down and he will wipe away every, you will never shed tears of pain and grief again. He will wipe away every tear from your eye and he will embrace you with an eternal comfort that will last again for all of eternity and everlasting life. And you and I will not have one second of regret of anything we've done for Jesus Christ in this life. No wonder it's so difficult because of the glory that is about to come. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a promise Jesus is keeping and a promise that he will keep. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed are those who mourn. So counter to our world, obsessed with a superficial happiness, but here's Jesus. You mourn over sin, I comfort you with grace. You mourn over the reality of evil, I comfort you with hope and victory. Behold, I'm coming soon. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. I just believe, Lord, this truth is so foundational and so important. I just think of all the situations in this room right now that you know perfectly and intimately, and I pray you are speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people's lives that they might even know the comfort of God even right now in hope and faith and joy and song and conviction. Please, Lord, may it be so. May we not live for this world. May we live for the one to come to make us more impactful for the world that we're in right now. May we know your blessing, even in this moment. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening again today from all of us here at Live in the Light. Each day, we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. Or on our podcast available on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. Yeah,